Blog Talk Radio.
Man, I put that on me. I make sure they gotta eat on the job, on the streets for my feet. Young kings, young queens, RBG, red, black, and the green, plant seeds. Now that's what I call my team, family over everything. I ain't never out of reach for my feet. That's how we gotta be, real ones follow me. Each one plan B.
Microphone checking my status since I've been crowned father. I grind harder, a wife and two daughters. A righteous black god in that red, black, and green. That's balance for the beam, huh? Family over everything. I'm dropping seeds every chance I get, and then I watch them all grow. No magic tricks. Sankofa, you know, bruh, gotta put that on your platter. Don't care about what they say, we say black fathers matter.
When it comes to my seeds, gotta keep that real energy. Literally, every single day create memory. Figuratively, I orchestrate moves like a symphony. Vividly, I think with these thoughts like epiphanies. Literally, can change the game and make history officially. My daughter never see me in a penitentiary. That shit to me, cause all we got is us, all we got is trust. Every day I gotta rush, I don't believe in love. Man, I put that on me. I make sure they gotta eat on the job, on the streets for my feet. Young kings, young queens, RBG, red, black, and the green, plant seeds. Now that's what I call my team, family over everything. I ain't never out of reach for my feet. And that's how we gotta be, real ones follow me. Each one, plant
seeds. I'm in the cut like a back street. I let my son ride shotgun while these other suckers take the back seat. And that's the only one that could pass me. Something heavy in my diaper bag, homie, you can match me. Riding down the avenues with the seat back. Who that? Diamondback. Proud to be black, that's your daddy. Sitting clean in the rag seat. Going hard for my committee and La Familia's mad deep.
Black fathers,
love,
yeah.
Love, I'm from a spot where blacks get rejected. Selling dope and gangbanging, get you well respected. Being a felon, get you well neglected. Where the black fatherhood challenge was accepted. To show the youth a better route. Teach them right from wrong and what the benefits of life about. Don't get caught up in the streets, you can make it out. Put that on my soul, I'ma show my kids a safer route.
Man, I put that on me. I make sure they gotta eat on the job, on the streets for my seed. Young kings, young queens, RBG, red, black, and the green, plant seeds. Now that's what I call my team, family over everything. I ain't never out of reach for my seed. And that's how we gotta be, real ones follow me. Each one, plant seeds.
Today I will conclude our talk on Father and his role. His role is so mighty as the head of his household. His role is so mighty in helping to build a nation that really we could talk all year on Father and never give him enough. But time will not permit us to do that.
Excuse me. I made an oath to avenge my ancestors. God bless me with the strength to use my wisdom as a weapon. Listening, learning, observing, and picture perfect. Burning hot as a furnace, deserving tips and thermostat. You heard of that? Hell nah, I ain't a know-it-all. Fuck showing off, I follow a script. Protocol, politics, philosophy, theories, ideology, liberation, theology. We fulfilling the prophecy. Revolution, my religion, nigga, fuck the system. Playing my position, nothing matters but the mission. I'm with it, I'm committed, every second, every minute. I do it for my niggas, incarcerated in prison. Break your vow. Chain of command. If you ain't been where we been, you probably won't understand. Battle tested, pouring to the flames of state repression. And this is what the black riders pledging. Check it.
I solemnly swear to keep it jigging at all times. Never fail to keep the message in my rhyme. So I'm obligated to hold it down for niggas that came before me.
me. Never felt to have accountability. I mean, I'm about to forget the mission. Leave the people astray. Still a needle or a thread to try to re-stimulate. To let me die a thousand deaths and be tormented by the flames. Say the deadly so we never lose the way. I say, every morning trying to wake up with the sun. Makes a lot and stay connected to the one. To the lie, to the city, get Oakland to make it run. We ain't talk about no drugs, propagating. We believe in it's in the rain. When it's uniform, so people don't just label us as love. But don't get it twisted, niggas on the block, they show us love. Muslims, Jews, and Christians, more traditional religion. Eva ain't commended, sister, build the shit that we be spitting. They fold a contradiction like Contra war intervention. Cause war was an extension of why niggas still the prison. My only sin is the skin that I'm living in. Never mind that I'm in the sin with ambitions and killing shit. They might indict us with a thought crime for rhyming. Building cases cause the music is politically defined. But sure as the sun rises in the east the next day, God willing, I wake up and get another chance to say. I solemnly swear to keep it jiggy at all times. Never fail to keep the message in my rhyme. So I'm obligated to hold it down for niggas that came before me. Never fail to have accountability. I mean, and try to forget the mission. Leave the people astray. Still a needle or a thread to try to re-stimulate. To let me die a thousand deaths and be tormented. And by the claim, say the deadly so we never lose the way. I say, grounded in principle, guided in ideology, is party policy. For one, the contestants are properly respected honesty, treat the community responsibly, propagate this capitalism while we can poverty, discipline and diplomacy, go to war to obtain peace. International guerrillas focus on the same thing. Ain't nothing new, people fighting God for freedom by any means. We need the people's army. Why we so police? My energy is focused and that it so can't control me. And allows individuals based off of they approach me. To each his own path. We all believe what we believe. Lots of people got positions. No more freedom to be mean. Niggas speak on liberation, but they got no blood to bleed. But every day I see my death as a possibility. I solemnly swear to keep it jiggy at all times. Never fail to keep the message in my rhyme. So I'm obligated to hold it down for niggas that came before me. Never fail to have accountability. I mean, if I should forget the mission, leave the people astray. Still a needle or a thread to try to re-stimulate. To let me die a thousand deaths and be tormented by the flames. Say the deadly so we never lose the way. I say,
when your time comes to die for black and oppressed people, be not like those whose hearts are filled with fear of death. Sing your song and die like a hero going home. I am a black rider.
I am a black rider.
I am a soldier and member of a team.
I am a soldier and member of a team.
I am a servant of the people.
I am a servant of the people.
And live with revolutionary values.
And live with revolutionary values.
I will always place the mission first.
I am disciplined physically.
Mentally tough.
Trained and proficient.
In the way of the warrior.
I always maintain my arms.
Equipment and self.
I stand ready to deploy.
Engage and destroy.
The enemies of the party and the people.
I am a black freedom fighter.
I am a black freedom fighter.
I am a black rider.
I am a black rider.
Power.
Power.
Peace, I'm Black Power Family. Welcome to another episode of Black Survivor Die series, broadcasting live every Warrior Wednesday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time by the National Minister of Defense, the Black Riders Liberation Party, and the National Deputy Field Marshal, the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, under the leadership and auspices of National Chairwoman General Crystal Muhammad, and Speaker none other than our Black Dragon for this generation. Minister King, Samir Shabazz. The phone number to call in, family, 929-477-1755. Again, 929-477-1755. Press 1 with your questions or your comments. It's indeed my duty and responsibility to open up today's class on the day of knowledge equality, all being born to God. And we are here October 16, 2019, the day, 24 years to the day of the Million Man March that took place October 16th, 1995, and also on today, October 16th, 1915, where the revamping and the resurrection of the Ku Klux Klan was on this particular day. So in light of that, I've been instructed to open up today's class with the subject, why we do what we do. So I'm going to hold it down until Mr. King, Mr. Brass gets here. And we're going to look at that. Why we do what we do. And it should be an introspective question that Africans who purport to be about African liberation and the destruction of our enemies, both foreign and domestic, both internal and external, we should have an answer or a myriad of answers in regards to why we do what we do. And what is it that we do as liberators, as the Vanguard Party, as the brothers and sisters who come from that divine line of warrior ancestry, a long-standing history here in the hells and smells of North America and all over the planet Earth. 196,904,000 square miles. Wherever we are, and wherever we have been, as warriors, we have stood our ground against oppressive domination, tyranny, devastation, and destruction. So the warrior exists for the express purpose of defense in war. It's in the word, the root of the word warrior. As our living singer, Baba Nwale Kibomani Ruby states, is war. So why we do what we do is to ensure the future and sanctity of the African family against intrusion, against encroachment, and against combating enemy forces in every form. It is an African proverb that says, no one loves the enemy. No one loves the warrior until there's an enemy at the gate. So let me start off with October 16th. A reading from Elias Hassan. Calendar of Revolutionary Death, thoughts given to us by our Jingle living ancestor, Baba Dr. Wiley K. Romani Ruby. You can get this in all of the other books, www.occupanthouse.com. Let's go. We are Africans not because we are born in Africa, but because Africa is born in us. And this is Chester Higgins Jr. Let's get into Baba's explanation. We can only be born African. It is not an acquired spirit. Those of us who are blessed to be African are born of African spirit. This is a claim none other can make. Eurocentric, de-racialized Africans promote the argument of the African origin of humanity to garner the favor of Europeans by attempting to make them feel guilt over mistreating their brothers. Europeans are using the same political science to say that they are as much African as Africans, and therefore all that is African belongs to them as much as any other African. But if initially, but even if initially the same physical mother, 900 generations in the caves of the Caucasus Mountains, created a vastly different, progressively evolving spirit, which is completely oppositional with the irreconcilably different essences than that of the spirit of the African mother of which they are said to come. Yoruba's spiritlessness is quite unlike African spirit wherever found. Any confusion over this is only the desperate manufacture of those who work to suppress it or conceal it. What they are. For this reason, I take nothing from the brilliance of Higgins' statement taken correctly, but confusion among Africans and others alike can lead to the severe misinterpretation that everyone is or everyone can be African. And for this reason, I would like to alter it to say that we are Africans not because we are born in Africa, but because we are born African. Affirmation: I am innately African. So, this is the foundational core and high apropos for Baba to have these sacred writings on this particular day in regards to why we do what we do. So, if anybody's listening, have any questions or comments, that phone number to call in 929-477-1755. Again, 929-477-1755. Press 1 with your questions or your comments for this particular class on why we do what we do. So I'm going to get into it right now. We already stated foundationally what our duty and responsibility is as African liberators, as warriors. This is our charge. This is our duty. This is our responsibility. This is a response to the devastation, tyranny, and oppression. The vanguard parties organized out of the grassroots of our people, and that insurrection spirit is thrusted forth and called into existence because we are peaceful people until it's time for war. And war becomes necessary to bring about peace because peace is the absence of confusion. There's no confusion where there is peace. These two cannot occupy the same space at the same time. The inverse to peace is war. And peace is established through warfare. Peace reigns after being victorious in warfare. So when we say peace, we're stating the intention by which we come in a manner wherein there is no confusion. So if I say peace to my brother, peace to my sister, when I say peace, this is the essence in which I'm coming in. And also to let you know that I am prepared for war. If this is how peace is maintained, this is how peace is established. This is how peace is reestablished. All of these interworkings. So when you don this particular essence, when you seek to regain your African consciousness, your African mind, your African cultural thought and behavior you must be prepared to go to war. Internally and externally, the programming of our enemies, foreign and domestic, internal and external, the epigenetics of transgenerational trauma passed through the blood is something that is deep-seated inside of the mind of the African, and it must be uprooted. It must be overturned. It must be exercised out of the African who is seeking to return to his or her African mind. This is the mind frame that exists. And because these conditions exist internally, externally there's a manifestation of said force of confusion, and when there is confusion or contention on the battlefield, the warriors assemble and they arise. So we have to have this in our mind, foundationally, when we're talking about why we do what we do. And I see, got my brother in the building, Eater Ref, man, so I'm going to turn over the platform to Eater Ref to give his thoughts. That phone number again to call in, 929-477-1755. Again, 929-477-1755. Press 1 with your questions or your comments. Let me go to the line to get my brother in.
Black power and all power to the people, family. Can you hear me?
Black power, we hear you, sir.
Black power, all power to the people. This is Eater Ref, Minister of Public Relations of Black Wilders Liberation Party, calling directly out of Panther Planet, Oakland, California.
Mm-hmm.
I want to give a shout out to Comrade Knowledge Born for allowing this, dropping this jewels on the platform, you know what I'm saying, reaching and teaching. You know, the basics on survival, talking about, you know, the balance between war, peace, and confusion, and talking about what we need to do and why we need to do it. You know, this is the survival program. This is the survival of civilization class, workshop. So, you know what I'm saying? We're also directly dealing with the, we're in the month of the Black Panther History Month. This is the 53rd anniversary of the Black Panther, for the founding of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, founded in Oakland, California by Bobby Seale and Minister of Defense Huey P. Newton. And it's the 53rd anniversary of the Breakfast for Kids, the Breakfast for Kids Children program of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. A Black Panther Party alumni association, a lot of different elder Panther groups are commemorating the breakfast program. Some comrades have participated in a breakfast, pretty much a feed the people, and all that is sweet, but we got to carve out the whole story on both sides. Before I get to that, though, I want to Panther Black off of what the comrade said earlier about when about the correlation between war and peace. The Black Panther Party for Self-Defense drew heavily, theoretically and ideologically, from the teachings of Mao Zedong's Little Red Book. And Mao Zedong got a chapter in the Red Book called War and Peace. And I'm paraphrasing because, you know, a lot of this is like memorized, and not just memorized, but we have a deep understanding. So what I'm saying is not a direct quote word for word from the book, but it's a direct paraphrase from my spirit and from my mind and my understanding in practice of what I read. Huey P. Newton used to quote this a lot too, man. He said that we're not abolitionists. We're not advocates of war. We're advocates of the abolition of war. And in order to have peace, you want to get rid of the gun. You have to pick up the gun. So there is no war without no peace. You know. So when the comrades, when we greeting you in peace, when we greeting you in peace, we're greeting you not on a peaceful, passive notion. We're greeting you in a manner that we're willing to go to war for this peace. You know what I'm saying? When we say in peace, we're talking about balance. We're talking about reciprocity. We're talking about order. We're talking about universal law. We're talking about an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a limb for a limb, a life for a life. You know what I mean? So we don't want people to get confused, because a lot of people are spiritual escapists when they get to talking about peace and Hotep. And whenever you get to talking about correcting the unjust in combat, people act like you are acting within a lower vibration, when actually the lower vibration and the higher vibration is a representation of above is so is below. So there's a balance between the two. And sometimes you gotta use force, or even the threat of force, in order to bring justice into to exercise law. You know what I mean? So when it comes to war and peace, I think a lot of people misunderstand how we operate. A lot of people misunderstand it, and even with black people and African people, you know, we're very, very spiritual people. You know, we can't help it, you know, because, you know, we got that pineal gland. We got melanin, you know, and we're in touch with every living and decaying thing. You know, we deify, you know, animate and inanimate objects because we see the connection between each other as having that carbon consciousness, that triple black, you know, consciousness. You know, that black matter. And within that, you know, it works in our favor, but sometimes without the balance of having to correct things and restore order, it could be used against us. Anything that we don't control could be used as a weapon against us, including ourselves. You know, if we don't control ourselves, you know, we will be used to destroy self, you know. And this goes hand in hand with what we see now with the family of Baptham Jean forgiving the racist white bitch that murdered the brother, you know what I mean? And they use Christianity as a tool, as basically as their excuse for forgiving this dude. It wasn't Christianity that made him forgive that dude. It was just straight insanity, white supremacy. You know what I mean? Because even in the doctrines of Christianity, Judaism, Islam, whatever type of spiritual doctrine you have, if it's not black liberation theology, it's some bullshit. Black liberation theology promotes the idea of our God and our gun. It promotes war for peace, war to the knife, war to the tooth, war to the fingernail. This is what black liberation theology is all about, our God and our gun, man. Dr. Khalid Muhammad, man, is one of the brothers who brought this to us, you know? And in our latest issue in our article, newspaper, African Intercommunal News Service, coming to a turf near you. Our leader and chief theoretician, General Taco, dropped the third volume of African Intercommunalism, titled Our God and Our Guns. And he touches on the role black liberation theology plays within our politics, within our theory, within our ideology, and our very practice to struggle for the liberation of our people, you know? So back to the Black Panther History Month, right? You know, the Blackfish program was considered one of the most dangerous things, right? But it wasn't just like the breakfast in itself. You know, it was more so what they were doing during the breakfast program. They were advocating the total destruction of imperialism, the total destruction of capitalism, the total destruction of white supremacy to children before school, before they go into the white supremacist infrastructure and institution used to brainwash them. They would get brain food, food and fuel for freedom fighting fire. This is what these children were getting influenced with before they were going to school. They weren't teaching if Johnny had three oranges and he loses two, how many does he have left? No, they didn't do math like that before, because they were doing math and teaching them practical arithmetic and language as well, you know. But they did it in a revolutionary way. They would do it like you have a, they would do it. Let me just give an example of the way they used to educate these kids during the breakfast program, man. They'll hit the youngsters up like this. They'll be like, if we have a 38 caliber handgun revolver with six bullets in there and there's three pigs, how many bullets would you have left and how many bullets do you need? You know what I'm saying? It would be those type of questions, those type of word problems that would be given to these children before they would go to school. You know what I'm saying? So it was all revolutionary culture. You know what I mean? And this is what made the breakfast program such a threat. In 1972, the Black Panther Party dropped for self-defense from the title of their name. They did this to be accepted, to be more so, to be able to receive funding on a 501(c) status. They was believing that they were going to get more funding. And instead of running up and having to physically boycott the Safeway stores the different stores and whatever for them to get the food for the breakfast program, they decided to use it as a way to deduct taxes and whatnot and do it that way. But still promote revolution. But the thing was, they couldn't promote revolution in that state. They couldn't promote armed self-defense when you fall up under a 501(c), why 501(c)(3), the way you think you can. The way you think you can. I'm going to let y'all mind go, your imagination image what type of things that you could create under the guise of that, without saying too much. Anyways, what I'm saying is, there became a tactic and practice that was very failed, known as survival pending revolution. Survival pending revolution. They decided to, at one time, you know, based off of a lot of the fascist repressive attacks on the Black Panther Party during 1969 in the height of it, and due to the need for more funding because they needed they needed a lot of money for the courts and the lawyers and things like that, also safe houses, and you know, cats was getting driven underground, and you know, a lot of the comrades was in prison at the time. You know, they had to expand different ways of organizing. They were trying to push certain politics through, let's say, electoral politics, you know, with revolutionary intentions, but getting caught up in watering down at least above ground forms of armed self-defense, especially in California, because they hit us with the Mulford Act, which was basically the Panther Act, was used to disarm black people from open carrying firearms in California. This happened in May 1967. This is basically the reason why the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense did a march on Sacramento at this time, and getting international credit, international press, and national coverage from the media, which was utilized by the Black Panther Party and even utilized by corporate entities of the media. The Black Panther Party was effectively able to nationalize and recruit be able to put themselves on a platform to get recruits and go nationwide. You know what I mean? But due to all of this and all of the momentum in 1968, when J. Edgar Hoover issued the counterintelligence program and started basically trying to neutralize and disturb all the efforts of the Black Panther Party and black freedom fighters in general, you know, it led them to trying to find different ways to maneuver, to allow themselves to be above ground enough to reach the mainstream masses, but still be able to carry out strikes at white supremacy on under. See, the thing was, though, you know, on the administrative route, when they were able to recruit a lot of brothers that and sisters that came from more of a middle class background that were educated in college, you know, at that time, when they did a merger with the Student Nonviolent or the Student Nationalist Coordinating Committee under the leadership of Kwame Ture, formerly known as Stokely Carmichael, and the great H. Rat Brown, Jamil Abdul Alamin, who was a current political prisoner at the moment. Free the comrade Jamil Abdul Alamin. Free H. Rat Brown by all means. However, let me get back to it. So when all this situation was going on, you know, they decided to create, like I said, the survival pending revolution. And on one hand, with the administrative, they was focusing a lot. They was pushed to the forefront on the electoral politics locally in Oakland to run Bobby Seale for mayor, to run Elaine Brown for council, and all of that. That was on the above ground thing. There was other elements of the underworld that was being used and being maintained and controlled to develop a certain form of economics on the lumping proletariat class of people. So since they didn't have any above ground vehicle to mobilize and to counter a lot of the self-hatred, to counter to basically get education through observation and participation through experience of combating white supremacy on an above ground level, it was easy for a lot of the brothers that were straight off the turf to straight backslide into the shit, to straight backslide into a self-destructive culture, the subcultural traits and characteristics and lifestyle, you know? So a lot of the shit that we see with the Bloods and the Crips and all these different gangs, the process and the stages of survival pending revolution turned into survival postponing revolution and backsliding into illegitimate underground black capitalism. And those resources that was supposed to be recycled off of suffocating the negatives of black capitalism to develop institutions of self-sustainability and communal infrastructure to organize intercommunal revolution across the globe, all of that shit got stifled because there was no above ground element for the Lumpen brothers to identify with to the masses. There was like a split, but there was class contradictions and there was cultural contradictions within the party, within the community, and COINTELPRO, the FBI capitalized on all of that shit with the war on drugs, with the war on the black liberation struggle. And then now with our wave, we dealing with the war on terror. We dealing with the black identity extremist clause. We dealing with the Patriot Act. We dealing with the National Defense Authorization Act. We dealing with a lot of these things that are based off of a modern neocolonial infrastructure. Globalization of capitalism on a it's a global scale, but it's right here though. And this is how you know that black people in America play such an important role in the liberation struggle of black people all over the world. It's because it's America, it's the U.S. government that is extracting Mother Earth's resources out of Africa and even here in South America. And the reason why our folks out there in Papua New Guinea, you know what I'm saying, our people out there, the indigenous aboriginals in Australia and the melanated people across the planet who might not even be of direct African descent, but are still of our melanated intercommunal bloodline, our real allies, though, you feel me? The black people on the bottom caste system, you know what I'm saying, across the globe, in Nova Scotia and motherfucking Denmark, man, we deep. Don't get it twisted, man. Like, we don't need no outside allies, man, because we think we a minority. That's only if you're not thinking globally. We are the global majority, man. And we got a role to play right here in the hells and smells of North America, man. And it's really up to us, you know what I'm saying? If we fail, everything fails, you know what I'm saying? Africa alone is not our home. Dr. Khalid Muhammad told us that Africa is our throne. Africa is the birthplace of humanity. Africa is where all the resources is. It's the first, it's the center of the planet. It's geographic and biologically the place where we need to be, you know, the place where we need to put a lot of our energy towards. But since the U.S. government has played a role in colonizing that area, Africa, you know, because it's all one body of landmass anyway, you know. But since it's the U.S. government playing the dominant role of colonization, see, we even got China, you know what I'm saying, playing their role, you know what I'm saying? Everybody is taking a piece out of Africa, and we got folks that are acting as if, like, Africa does not play a big role. You know what I'm saying? Like, people are acting as if, you know, as if we shouldn't even worry about that, as if what happens over here has nothing to do with what's happening over there, or what's happening over there don't got nothing to do with what was happening over here. You know, all of this shit is connected. As long as one person is oppressed on the planet, everybody is oppressed on the planet. You know what I'm saying? If we don't get free, won't nobody get free. You know what I'm saying? So what we got to do is basically turn the idea of survival pending revolution as the survival in the process of revolution. Because revolution is not a specific event. Revolution is not a specific it's not just one isolated incident, you know. Revolution is this process been going on for thousands of years, you know what I'm saying? It's a cycle, you know, and all of these attacks aren't isolated incidents either. We're at war, people. These are casualties. These are casualties of war. And these kind of casualties, they don't give a fuck whether you civilian, whether you are not in the fight or not. You know what I'm saying? You don't gotta pick a side. Your side is you already in the crossfire. You feel me? It's all up to what you gonna do about it. You know what I'm saying? The fascist state gonna create more revolutionaries than we ever could. However, it's up to us as the Vanguard Party to lead and direct and set an example to show and prove that the revolution is the only solution. Period. There's no going, there's no getting around it. You know what I'm saying? You cannot afford to backslide. You cannot afford to feel comfortable. You can't afford to kick it. You know what I'm saying? You can only afford to kick ass. Kick the crack in his ass, man. You know what I'm saying? Well, I don't care what you believe in, what your religion is. It's a God-given right to self-determination and self-preservation. You know what I'm saying? And self-preservation is not, like, just an individual thing. Because a lot of people think that they got knowledge of self because they know about African culture and African history. If you really had knowledge of self and you know about African culture or African history, you know that yourself isn't limited to just your body and your skin and your bones and your blood. That's not what you're limited to. So everything got to be limited, and you just got to be used as a vessel of liberation, you know what I'm saying, for self-determination. You know what I mean? So, yeah, man, what we try to promote is survival in the process of revolution. That's what these survival classes is all about, man. This is what we're prepping you for, man. We're not prepping you for, we're not giving you this knowledge just so you can be cool when the shit hits the fan and just go off and chill. Nah, man, you go, like, when the Maroons had to, when the Maroons and escaped, Africans that were enslaved that escaped to the mountains in the Central and South America and the Caribbean and even over here in Americas, right? When they fled to the mountains, they just didn't sit up there and chill, man. They used to run back down the mountains, man, and raid the plantation and free some of their loved ones, man. Because as long as they allow that plantation to build up, you feel me, then they're building up the economics and being able to have the infrastructure for their military to wage war on them out there in the hills. You know what I'm saying? So even with the motherfuckers that was trying to make treaties in the Maroon communes, you know what I'm saying? Those treaties were based off of negotiations and agreements that weren't always necessarily compromised, man. You know what I'm saying? Because when it comes to negotiation, you know what I'm saying? A lot of people like to say no negotiations or whatever, right? You know, that's a utopic way of thinking if you're really thinking about nationalism or nationalization. You know what I'm saying? You're really talking about separation. You know what I mean? You're going to kick up enough dust to where you could go to war on your own terms and not be forced into a war to where you make General Custer-like decisions and be led by emotion that'll destroy your whole operation before the shit even starts. You know what I'm saying? Because we're at war for the hearts and minds of our people, man. A lot of this shit is a hearts and minds campaign. Especially because we have the potential, we have the heart and the spirit to win, but we're dealing with enemies that have more arms, you feel me, that are dealing with more than what we have right now, which is actually could be used to our advantage, because the more they got, the more shit they make, the more we take. You know what I'm saying? I don't give a fuck how much technology they have. If it can't be jacked, it could be hacked. If it can't be jacked, it could be hacked. I don't give a fuck about no robots or no motherfucking computers. I'm going to tell you like this, man. General Taco taught us, and he learned this from studying the great George Jackson, man, is that war is not won by mechanical devices. Wars and battle are won by men and women. Somebody got to push that button. Somebody got to push them triggers, pull the triggers. Somebody got to man these operations and these programs. So at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying, even if I don't know how to operate this shit, you know what I'm saying, if I make somebody who know how to do it, you know what I'm saying, bend under the will of power and make sure that whatever decision they make is in the best interest of the people's struggle for liberation, then, you know what I'm saying, then it is what it is, man. So
I'm not with the whole self-defeatist mentality, the cop-outs. People are demoralized thinking that we can't win. You know, people are caught up in religious banging. People are spiritual, or what we call spiritual escapism. Man, black liberation theology, man, our God and our good. African intercommunalism 3, you know what I'm saying? Survival in the process of revolution. Black power and all power to the people. Death to imperialism, death to white supremacy, and death to capitalism.